Welcome to Cabronas y Chingonas, a podcast where we talk about queer and Latinx topics, such as
Sandra and Allison in the ABC show For the People. Both of these girls, like, one of them starts out, the black woman who is one of the main characters in this is Allison, and she starts out with this boyfriend, and immediately, like, they drop him on the first episode. And then Sandra, just throughout the whole first season, stays single, and they live together in, like, I think like a, it looks like a one bedroom apartment, but I could be wrong. And like they stand for each other, and like they're always there for each other, and they know each other, and like I don't know, like it's just, I'm sorry, but it seems like a unrequited love type of situation, but I don't know.
I mean, that sounds like chemistry to me, so I'm into it.
What up, Corona?
What's poppin', chingona? And for those of you that don't know, I'm Fried Papita.
I'm Maite. And welcome to the show. I guess we don't normally introduce ourselves, so this is kind of weird.
Yeah, we have to, like, relearn how to do it, but okay, we'll figure it out. So as you might notice, like, my voice is, like, completely shot.
Blame Taylor Swift. I'm sorry, but wow.
Oh, no. You did it. You told... guys, I didn't want them to know. So, yeah, I went to a Taylor Swift concert. Let's talk about it if you want, I guess.
I don't want to talk about it, man. I haven't liked her since 1984 or 9 or whatever.
It's 1989.
I meant 1984, the book. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, shout out to that book, though. That's a real badass book.
Yeah. Yes. Big Brother.
I guess we wanted to get into, like, maybe our weekends, like, what we've been doing. It's been pretty eventful for both of us.
Well, not my weekend's been really uneventful, but we both happened to go to Latino-themed festivals. We can talk about that.
Yes. So, yesterday I went to Texas Latino Pride, which is, like, this queer Latin Texan pride movement all of its own. And our homies, De Colores, were, like, emceeing. Shout out to the straight people the straight allies they allowed in. We love them.
Our straight homies.
Our straight ally homies. Because Joe went there, too, and I'm like, he's all rainbowed out. And I was like, yes, I love my queer allies.
Don't you love that shit? I went to the first ever Lakers Pride Night on Thursday. And I went with Angel from Let Me Know Pod. And they were giving out, like, Lakers rainbow t-shirts. And at the end of it...
Oh, my God.
Yeah, isn't that cool? Uh-huh. And at the end of it, he was wearing the shirt. I was like, all right, come on, ally.
Go off. Yes. And that was the first Pride they ever had. Like,
well, first
ever?
Pride night, yeah, for the Lakers.
You got to see LeBron. I'm jealous.
Yeah, I got to see
Bron. We love him. And we stan an activist. We
and one of our followers, like, recognized me and Angel, which was really, really cool.
Well, you got recognized somewhere? Okay, yeah, we popping.
So. It was like, super interesting. My hands were full of, like, micheladas and hot dogs, but it's all right.
Yeah, you know who else had a CYC sighting? Pat, our library bae, was at a show. She said someone came up to her and was like, I really like your sticker. And it was a CYC sticker. And she's like, I listened to them. And I was like, wait, what? You found someone in the wild, came up to you and was like, I listen to CYC. And I was like, dying, dude.
Yeah, she texted me about it. And I was like, oh, my God, this is everything I ever wanted.
I know. I, like, almost fell over when she told me. So it was, like, literally the best. But yeah. Oh, so, yeah, this weekend, dude, Texas Latino Pride was, like, the shit. Like, dude, me and Eva started a cumbia circle, like, for the fuck of it. And literally everyone started going behind us. And I was like, fuck yes, we started the cumbia circle.
Man, that's goals, man. It is. I was sad to miss it, but, you know.
I know. You were there in spirit. Like, your Cynthia was there and Abel was there. And I was kicking it with them.
I know. I saw.
Your representatives were there. Don't worry about it.
That's exactly what I referred to them as. I'm like, oh, Eva, hey, sending my representatives in my honor.
And we both have the flag now.
What flag?
The Texas Pride flag.
I don't have a Texas Pride. I just have a Texas flag. Is that what you mean?
Oh, wait, what? I don't know what we're talking about.
Off. I'm so confused.
Good. Stay confused. I don't think I was supposed to tell you that.
You got me, my friends got me a Texas Pride flag?
No.
They told me they got me something. They didn't tell me what, which was kind of annoying.
Damn it. No, they didn't get you that. No. That's not what they got you. It wasn't me.
What am I going to do with my other Texas flag?
Put them side by side or burn it. You know, I honestly think you should burn it. Burn your regular Texas flag. Are we proud of that one? I don't know if I endorse the regular Texas flag anymore.
Distance makes the heart grow fonder.
It actually probably does, though. So, anyways.
Yeah, anyways, ooh. I went to Latino Media Fest, as we explained kind of in last week's episode, and I got to watch a bunch of short films by Latinx creators, and it was so cool because, like, what I thought was really awesome is that Latino Media Fest, they help fund these short films for certain creators, but they don't give them any parameters. They're not like, oh, you have to make a Latino story. Like, that's where they don't do that, and I thought that was really cool. Because then you end up with, like, this incredible variety of stories. One of the stories was about a young trans woman. One of the stories was about a Colombian immigrant who goes back home. Another story was about domestic abuse and being undocumented. Another story was about, like, just really, like, almost like sci-fi fantasy type of thing. Like, the variety of stories that came out of, like, all these people who are all Latinx creators, but they all have different stories to tell, and like I thought it was just so wonderful, like the way that they did that. So another one was about having to go to Planned Parenthood and having all these people like protest against you, but they don't know your story and the hypocrisy there. So I don't know, it was just such a cool thing to see.
Wow, they, like, allowed creators to create. That's really fucking cool. And it's so, like, undervalued. Like, no one ever talks about it.
Yeah, and they do this every year. So, I honestly, any like, directors out there who want some funding to create a short so that you can showcase some of your work, I would highly recommend looking into their programs.
Well, that's lit. That's lit as fuck. And you'll find it in the show notes. And I'm super excited. Maybe hopefully I can go like next year or something.
Yeah, shout out to Nali. That's amazing. For giving me the opportunity to go there and stuff. But yeah, though that was our weeks, I guess.
Yeah. No, I just want to add, like, yo, yesterday was just like beautiful. My heart is full. Like, it was such a good fucking vibe. And like, we had like vegan elote, which, I mean, it can get more vegan.
I was like, just I guess vegan mayo and cheese.
Like butter and like all those things didn't come from like cows and stuff, so it was like pretty gnarly. And we got it from Electric Kitchen. Like, shout out Electric Kitchen. Yeah. Like, other queer women making vegan food in Dallas, they're the shit. So like, yesterday was awesome. It was just a really good fucking vibe, and like, we missed you. And like, it would have been, I mean, your representatives were there, but we still missed you.
Well, likewise. Thank you. Maybe, like Eva was saying, like, maybe next year, but like, the truth is that probably not. And like, you know, that starts kind of setting in and it sucks. But I love seeing that. Like, it's still really nice to see my city do some cool shit like that. I don't know.
Yeah, it was a good vibe. It was a good feeling. But yeah. So, what are we talking about today, Maitha? I'm excited.
Well, as many of you know, this past Monday, or for us, it's tomorrow, but last Monday was Indigenous Peoples Day, which, fuck.
Shout out Indigenous people.
Fuck Columbus. it's Indigenous. Yeah, in here where I am, it's Indigenous Peoples Day. And we wanted to maybe throw in a couple of recommendations. Obviously, they are one of the most underrepresented groups in the media. Like, so, like, scarcely represented. But I've been kind of holding on to, I did my notes on this like months ago on this show that I want to talk about today, and I've been holding out. I've been wanting to recommend this for a while, but I held out for today specifically because I want to talk about Indigenous representation.
Ah, fuck yes. Okay, that's pretty awesome. fuck Columbus forever, guys. Just remember that. And indigenous people deserve every fucking right, just like everyone else. So, I mean, this could be a tequila talking, but I love everybody. Yay.
Yes, this tequila that you had to have, because otherwise you'll be coughing your lung out.
But yeah, would you want to go first? Do you want to discuss some of the couple things you want to
go over? I can totally go first if you want. Yeah, mine's a TV show. Yours is a film. It's going to be one of our standard formats. Do keep in mind that we're like some Mexican-American chicks. Like, we aren't 100% like the experts in this, but I thought that this particular piece was super sweet, and I loved it, and I wanted to talk about it, so here I am.
Yes, talk your shit. Let's go.
Okay, so I kind of fell into this series, like, because a thing that I do every now and then is, like, go through and search what new queer women characters there are out there, and one that I found was in Burden of Truth. And Burden of Truth is a show that started out on CBC just this year. It's a Canadian show. And that's probably why I liked it so much. Because, you know, those Canadians are fucking woke as shit. And I was also kind of surprised to see that Kristen Kreuk is in it. And she, you might recognize her as Lana from Smallville. Like, one of her biggest roles. I think she's had a couple of other things, too. But it's Kristen. Like, I don't know. She had that brief stint with a cult. But, you know, she doesn't. I know she didn't stick with
whoa,
it.
Whoa. Okay. Thank God.
Yeah, well, I don't think it was on purpose or anything. It's just, like, loosely connected with that other girl from Smallville that got, like, mixed up in that thing,
the real cult.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Yeah, they were both a part of it, like at the bottom, and then like Kristen got out of it. Joanna is her name on the show. On Burden of Truth, she, if you guys don't already know this, but she's of like Chinese and Dutch descent, so that's quite a mixture. I mean, she's freaking dope. Like, she kind of always plays the same character, but I like her character. It was recently, the reason that I say that it started out on CBC is because it only has one season out, and it was recently bought and greenlit for a second season by the CW. So it aired the season one in Canada, and then it re-aired on the CW over the summer. So, yeah, it's coming back for sure. I don't know. They haven't set a release date yet, but I think it's going to be this coming spring. Because obviously it's not gonna be the fall, it's too late for the fall, and they just wrapped on season two shooting over the summer, and I'm super stoked about it. Like, the CW, like, obviously they don't have the greatest track record, but I think they're putting more money into it than CBC did. Don't quote me on that. But they're keeping the same creators and stuff, and that includes a very well-respected executive producer who is a proud Ojibwe from Long Plains First Nation. So she's an indigenous creator and a woman, and yes, she's doing the damn thing. She's done other cool shit, but this is obviously the one we're gonna talk about today, and that's Lisa Meeches. If I didn't already say that,
shout out.
Yeah,
shout out.
The show was created by Brad Simpson. Don't really know a whole lot about him, but it's a cool show, so we're gonna get into it. So the general premise is, or at least like the first season, it's about Kristen. She's the main character, and her name is Joanna on the show. She's like a lawyer, and kind of like what she's known for at the beginning of the season is that she doesn't let her personal feelings get in the way of her work. So she tends to like clear these cases because she doesn't get personally involved, and because she's very like headstrong, and that's what kind of what she's known for. But that kind of changes when, because of a case back in her hometown, which is Millwood, she has to go and basically be the bad guy. So she finds in Millwood, like, there's a handful of high school girls who have gotten super sick, and the only common denominator that they have found, other than them being in like the same school and same gender and same whatever, the only other factor is that they all took the same HPV shot. So what she's doing is defending the company who distributed those HPV shots. So
wait, what?
Yeah.
She's slaying the bad guy.
She's the bad guy, exactly. So what she ends up finding, like, more than she bargained for, I guess. She finds Billy Crawford there. So he's another lawyer who happened to stay in town. So he lives still in this little small town. It's that typical, like, thing where it's like, oh, this is a really small town and everybody wants to go to the big city. And she's from the big city, but she goes to the small town and finds everybody is, like, super awesome. You know, it's kind of a...
That's actually really similar to what I'm covering too. Really? Yes, continue.
It's a general, like, it's a very general premise that a lot of things go for, but I think it's done pretty well. So Billy Crawford, the local lawyer, he's, like, super invested in this case because his niece Molly is one of the girls who turns out to be sick, and he's obviously, like, really fucking invested in that. He, like, doesn't want his, like, niece to, like, be and hurt and then, like, not have any way to pay for her medical expenses and all this other stuff. But Kristen's there and she's just like, yeah, we're not gonna give you nothing. It wasn't us. And yeah, but I mean, obviously the way that these shows work is that Kristen's character Joanna ends up really emotionally invested herself, because why wouldn't she be? And then she kind of sticks around, and then she finds out a lot of things about her family and why her family ended up leaving Millwood. And she finds out, or she meets Luna, and Luna happens to be the kind of inadvertently the reason that we find out some other shit about this whole case. I don't want to, like, completely spoil it, but basically we find out that Molly and Luna, who are dating, they're two young girls who are dating, they are really interwoven into Joanna's life, and we find out. I don't want to fucking spoil it, but let me tell you a little bit more about.
Oh my god! Yes, but, tell me more.
Let me tell you a little bit about Luna. So Luna is, and this is actually shown and represented in the show, which is, I think, is so great. But she's a part of the First Nation community, which, if you're not from Canada don't know much about it, that's basically, like, Native American community, and we see her mother and her grandmother and her former stepdad, or kind of like former stepdad, and they're all Indigenous, and they're all featured in many of the episodes, and they all look Indigenous, you know what I mean, and they're, like, pretty proud of it, and they're just your normal day-to-day people, which is what Indigenous people are. And we also get to see her have, like, this super loving and kind and, like, well-rounded relationship with Molly, and, like, you know what I mean? Like, usually they'll sprinkle it in, like, two or three episodes. They're almost in every single episode. And they're always shown as, like, two people who are in a relationship, who have separate lives and separate personalities. Like, it's just, I think it's the best, like, relationship that I've seen developed on television in a really long time between two girls, you know? Like,
But they're both individuals, Joggy.
They both have their own lives. They both have their own identities. And the best part is that, like, the whole thing isn't about them coming out. Like, nobody gives a shit. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, it's, like, a little bit of a thing in the very first episode, but hardly. You know what I mean? It's just kind of, like, they were kind of keeping the relationship to themselves, but it wasn't, like, shame. It was just them keeping it to themselves.
It was just, like, our relationship isn't your business. What? A concept, yes. A concept.
But I just... It was so cool. Like, I really didn't expect them to have, like, so much screen time, and they really, really did. And even better, like, they're allowed to be, like, really affectionate. They're allowed to be, like, playful and to be in a relationship, not just by themselves, but, like, within a group of friends and go to prom with each other and all this other shit.
Girl, no, you're gonna make me cry. Like,
you can ask, like, I think it was, like, I was talking to Eva, like, right after I binged this series, and, like, I couldn't stop talking about it. You know me, I'm not a very emotional person in real life, but that whole week, I swear to God, I was, like, so in my feelings, and I would go back and rewatch the show, and I was just like, it's real, even though it's not, because it's just TV.
It's fiction, but no, it's not affecting me like fiction. That's so true to, like, our queer experiences. Like, when we see something that's positive and happy, like, it changes our whole, like, disposition.
That's great. But yeah, it's just, Oh my god, I'm like reading through my old notes because I wrote these notes a long time ago, but this is one of the things that I wrote. I was like, as a person who likes to be single and alone and not feel things, I wanted a relationship for a solid 30 minutes after watching this show.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
30 minutes,
yeah. I haven't wanted a relationship that long in forever. So there's like, yeah, there's a number of elements like in that first season that are like, they're very cheesy. They're very like the dialogue, and like I said, the budget wasn't like super high or anything like that. I think that this is common of first seasons, period, across the board, even not just on CBC, but like on everything. Like sometimes you get like whatever cheesy crap like that, or stuff that could be improved with more money or time. And I think the second season tends to solve that. And I think it's going to be a little bit like starting over when you're going to a new network. But I'm hoping that they like do things pretty much the same, but like improved, instead of like trying to change up the dynamic. Because obviously something worked in this to be able to have it be bought by a whole other company.
Well, that's lit as fuck. When is it come out? When is
I'm not sure. Out? I think they haven't released it yet, but I think it's going to be spring of 2019.
Oh, lit.
Yeah, so CW, don't fuck it up. CW, I'm fucking...
Oh my god, they fuck everything up, god. Though, dude. Like...
Yeah, Supergirl season one in comparison to season two. Like, I mean, yeah. Whenever they purchased another show. I don't know, I have my hopes. Like, I think there's a chance that it could improve just budget for budget reasons. But you never know. So I have my hopes up here super high.
Let's just knock on wood and hope the CW doesn't do what they usually do.
Yeah. But Burden of Truth, season one, I think it's available to watch online. Like, just Google it. I'll try to post links. It's so good, and it's so heartwarming, especially if you just want to see, like, if you're, like, getting that mood that I get in, where I'm just like, I just want to see, like, two people, like, who are women, be in a relationship that's super soft and real.
It has nothing to do with queer pain. Yes, mm-hmm. Go
exactly.
Off.
They have a lot of pain, but it's not queer, not because of queerness. The pain is the pain that has to do with other things revolving them being real human people represented, you know.
What? Nuanced humans and we're queer? What a fucking concept. I'm still not over that. That's so crazy.
It's so good. And like I said, and Luna, her name is Star Slade or something like that. I didn't write it down, but the actual actress is actually an indigenous person playing an indigenous part, and I think that that's pretty damn lovely. So
yeah, about time.
Both Kristen Krug and Luna, they're both like meant to be mixed race, but they like don't shy away from they're, you know, for example, like Joanna's Chinese ancestry, they don't shy away from that, and they don't shy away from Luna's indigenous culture and stuff like that. So I think that it's really cool.
Nice. That is really cool. And so what would be your rating for it?
10 tissues. I don't know.
10 tissues? How many soft sighs did you like make at that like TV screen while you're watching?
God, you don't want to know.
It's 10 soft sighs per episode. Yeah, thank you so much.
I would say like for the parts that are not about Luna and Molly, I would say maybe like half a cafecito for that stuff, because it could be a little more complex, you know what I mean? It could be a little more like deep, but I think it does a good enough job. Like, I think it does pretty damn good. And then it just purely from the quality of Luna and Molly's whole relationship and their individual characters, like, I'm shook. I mean, I don't know.
Shook! I'm down to watch it. I just need to find links to it online. You know, list some links. Is it showing anywhere right now where, like, people have access?
I imagine it's probably on the CW and maybe somewhere else. Like I said, I'll have to look it up and link it, because it's been, like, a month or so. So, since I looked it up. Yeah, at the very least on the CW.
Litty. On the CW. And the CW online. I think you can watch it for free online for the
and
CW.
You know what? I think
you download that.
I don't know, because, like I said, it's been a while since I did these notes, but I think it's available on Hulu. So check Hulu.
Ooh, yes, Hulu. Everything's on Hulu, guys. Mosquito and Mari's on Hulu. That shit might also be on Hulu. Go on Hulu.
Go ahead.
Man, okay, I gotta stop shouting them out. They don't pay us. anyways. So I guess we're gonna get into what I'm covering this week, and it actually was inspired by what we posted on our Instagram. Like, that's where it all began, honestly. Like, I heard a rumor that Marvel had finally hired their first, like, female director of color, and she's an Asian woman. Her name's Chloe Zhao. She's a Chinese born American filmmaker, and it kind of spiraled into me looking into, like, her history and what she's been creating, and I found out she actually works directly with Native American tribes in, like, South Dakota, and she, like, experiments with, like, documentary style filmmaking slash she just goes in and makes a movie, and she doesn't even, like, she just bases it off the people she meets, dude. Like, it's not even, like, I'm gonna be covering The Writer, which came out in 2017, and she made quite a buzz at, like, literally all the film festivals, just because she made this movie almost on, like, no budget, and this is, like, indie filmmaking at its best, you know? So it's based on Lakotan tribes in South Dakota, like cowboys.
Wait, what?
Like Lakotan
what's
cowboys.
What's based on that? What's movie?
The Writer.
The movie. Like, the movie's called The Writer?
R-I-T-E-R. The Writer, like a horse rider, you know, but just it's just called The Writer.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, you're like, what?
I had no it's idea you were going to cover this. That's why I'm like, what?
No, yeah. So like Chloe Zhao, like, makes movies about indigenous people on reservations, dude. Like, she was visiting a reservation in South Dakota, and she met the lead of this movie, and she just was like, your life's interesting, I'm just gonna make it about you. So like, we always talk about, like, you know, authenticity and who we want to tell the stories of us, you know. She isn't an indigenous woman, but I give her her props because she literally just, everyone in this movie is playing themselves. Brady Jandro is a indigenous man who lives in an indigenous, like, reservation, and she just made it about his life. So a little thing about his life is that he got, like, a brain fracture. He's got his skull fractured, excuse me, after getting stomped out in a rodeo, like, right on his head. And she was just like, whoa, let's make this movie about you. And literally, like, his sister is, like, has Asperger's. Like, we're talking about, like, she's talking about ableism. She's talking about, like, what it means to be Native American now, what it means to be a cowboy now. And I think it's, like, yes, it's probably going against, like, who we are as a podcast, because it's, like, talking about, like, cowboys and, like, Native Americans. And it's kind of interesting because she's, like, flipped that whole narrative, you know? Like, it's 2018 and cowboys can be Native Americans.
I don't know that that's 100%, like, not a thing. I thought, like, Native Americans were totally, like...
No, they've always... Yeah, the thing is, they've always been cowboys, and the thing is, it's, like... She's actually showing it. Like, no one ever talks about how, like, you can be indigenous and a cowboy and how they're basically the same, but, like, America has this narrative of, like, the white cowboy, you know? Like, they have this idea of, like, John Wayne killing Native American people. So she's flipped the switch, and she's showing you what it means to be indigenous, what it means to be from the Badlands in 2018. And it's really kind of, like, hard living, you know? Like, the definition of, like, hard living. And she's not just showing, like... okay, let's start at the beginning. Like, there's so much happening in this movie, and it's so good, dude. Like, I can see why Marvel would pick her for, like, a superhero movie, because she's made a very, very unlikely hero out of the main character. Like, as you watch this movie progress, you're watching a regular-ass human being become something bigger than what he is. And it's not, like, you know, supernatural. It's not borrowing for, like, any kind of magic realism. It just kind of works with the land, and she's giving you angles. She's giving you close-ups. Like, the whole thing is beautiful. And my favorite thing about what she's choosing to do with this character is that she's like, you're just going to be yourself and I'm going to film you. And I can't get over the fact that these are real Native American people on film that or otherwise would have been ignored. Like, no one would have seen this story and been like, hey, let's try our best to make this a movie. Like, it's kind of like a lot about, like, the tragic hero, you know, like, the tragic hero coming back from, like, war, coming back from his wounds. He damages his brain in the beginning of the movie, and then as the movie progresses, you're watching him. He's, like, a tragic-ass hero. Like, he's cannot ride horses anymore. They said it's like if you ride horses again, it's likely that if you hurt your head, you're going to die, bro, or become, you know, disabled. You know, you're going to be differently abled for the rest of your life. And so he has to make that decision of whether or not he's going to go back to being in the rodeo or if he's going to try to have to make peace with his disability now. You know, like he's unable to ride horses. He starts working at, like, grocery stores instead of, like, living out his dream. So it's, like, it's a really, really kind of, like, tragic hero, like, fall. And you have to watch him as he progresses. And it's really human to me to watch someone fail and watch someone see where they could be. You know, he's constantly watching his friends go do rodeo. And at the same time, he has to kind of, like, sit back and wait his turn when he's never had to do that before. And I think that's super human, you know, it, like, reminds me of, like, every, like, poetic dream lost, you know, and that's what's happening to him. He's having his shit just lost, and I don't know, this film was just so fucking good. Like, there were almost tears at the end of this movie, like, for me. Mm-hmm. I don't cry either, dude, and I was don't like, lie, oh my lie. God. Okay, I cry all the time, but, like, yeah, I cried during Korra. Yeah, no, is it Korra? No, One Day at a Time, I totally cried.
Yeah.
The writer is just so good, guys. You can see it, like, on demand, online. I don't want to... I mean, there's not really spoilers based on his real life. It's basically a documentary, but she just filmed it like an indie movie, and it's beautiful, and she changed a couple names. But it really shows the struggle of being Indigenous and what kind of access you actually get to actually have, what kind of access you're given. And shout out to literally all his doctors being Indigenous women. That made me so happy. I was like, whoa, like, everyone in power here, like, the doctors are all women, like, anyone working in a building is a woman, and they're all, like, brown and beautiful. And interesting thing about Brady Jandro is that he's light-skinned. Like, everyone in his family's light-skinned, but they're very much Indigenous. And even his sister, you know, it's never, this whole movie, it's never, like, throwing it at you, but it's so subtle and so beautiful because his sister even sings to him in, like, their native language, and it's really beautiful because it's not, I feel like it's a modern day story of a couple of people's lives who are Indigenous, and I think any kind of exposure that we get to that is beautiful because you get to see that, like, all of our lives are, maybe we're completely different, we have different values, but we're able to see the humanity in ourselves and in other people. And I think that's super important to show in, like, 2018, how everyone's going to completely lose in their humanity. And, you know, I'm going to see a guy like that. I'm not going to probably see the thing that he is. I'm only going to see maybe he's a Trump supporter. But there's no politics in this. This is just about horses. I don't even think this guy's political. You know, he's Native American. He's riding his horses. He's being one with nature. So it's completely different from the politics of modern day America. So I just thought that was beautiful.
When did this movie come out?
It came out 2017.
For sure.
At all the festivals, yeah. And now you're able to watch it online. You can just, like, Google the writer. You can watch it on, like, YouTube, Amazon Prime, Google Play. It's everywhere right now for, like, on demand.
Sweet. Okay, cool.
Yeah. I mean, and it's, like, a Chinese director, and she's deciding... She's made a previous film, also about Indigenous women, and that one's even more obscure, or else I would have tried to watch that one. That one's even more obscure and a lot harder to watch, but I think it's, like, Songs of My Brother, and I'm planning on seeing that one too before she even does anything for Marvel. But I can see why they chose her, because, you know, she's taken a tragic hero and she's taken a very low budget and she's shot the most beautiful scenes out in the Badlands. And I'm telling you, the backdrop, the scenery, the cinematography to this movie is just like gorgeous. And I'm so inspired after watching it, honestly.
Let's talk a little bit about the director. What did they hire her to do on Marvel?
She's going to do The Eternals, which is like coming out God knows when, you know, Marvel, maybe in like 5 years. But it's another comic book installation they're probably creating, and she's going to be the director for it. So I'm super excited.
That's pretty cool. Have you heard all this, not to steer away from this, but have you heard all this Birds mm-hmm. of Prey news?
No, tell me, what's going on?
I'm not 100% on it. Like, I have to fucking figure mm-hmm. this out, because I'm a really big fan of a DC character called Renee Montoya.
She's
the dopest, right? Like, she's at one point she's the Question, she's dates Batwoman, and she's just an overall badass. But they recently announced that they're gonna cast Rosie Perez as Renee Montoya. Which I was like, what? Like, not because she isn't, like, good for the role, but because I'm wondering, like, what time period they're doing this in. Because I'm like, I mean, obviously the Birds of Prey, like, the ladies are going to be a little older, which I think is cool. Like, you don't see that represented very often. You always think that they always start with, like, 20 to 30 year olds and stuff like that, and I haven't looked into it super hard, but I mean, they got an Afro Latina. I can't really complain about that.
Yeah, that's, I mean, one step in the right direction. But isn't that's the one with like Harley Quinn and like her gang, right?
But no, Birds of Prey, they're the good girls. They're the on the good side of things.
Black Canary, Huntress, and Renee Montoya. There you go.
Birds of Prey.
Like, it's coming out in 2020, they say.
That sounds right. Yeah, it's about how long it'll take.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Okay. Margot Robbie's coming back to play Harley Quinn in it.
Okay. So she's probably gonna be Birds of Prey versus her or something like that. Let's see. I think you might be right.
Yeah.
Because it's supposed to be like a Suicide Squad spinoff.
Oh, Liddy.
But I think it's supposed to be a spinoff, but it's before Suicide Squad. Oh, never mind. It's before Suicide Squad 2. So I guess there's going to be a second Suicide Squad. Don't know why they're doing that, but okay.
Yeah, and then I heard Journey Smollett-Bell, she's also going to be Black Canary. So that's actually quite a few steps in the right direction for them.
Right. So what was it? Batgirl / Oracle, Black Canary, and Huntress. Okay, let's see. So Renee Montoya.
There's two women of color right there. Like, what?
This is interesting.
One Afro Latina and then Journey Smollett-Bell. So that's pretty, I don't know, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, not to mention that Barbara Gordon, like, especially in the Birds of Prey series, if I'm not mistaken, she's in a wheelchair. So she's, like, always been super cool representation for the disabled community.
Oh, that's super lit. Wow, that sounds super fucking cool. I'm really excited for it.
I'm curious if Huntress the one that Cara Delevingne played?
Was that supposed to be her? It's going to be Mary Elizabeth Winstead that's going to be Huntress now. Because I think Cara Delevingne was like a witch.
Oh, yeah. She was the witch or something like that. That's right. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's been a while.
So it's gonna be Mary Elizabeth Winstead. Yeah. Dude, that's super exciting. Like, okay, neither of us are like super into like movies like that are about based off it, because they never really do it right, but
I'm into the comics.
Your boo in there.
They're
gonna put your boo, Renee Montoya.
Yeah, but I'm just like, what are you guys, like, which version are you doing? I really need to do my research, so I don't even know why I'm bringing it up too much, but I just wanted to like talk about that for like a second, just because Renee Montoya is one of my favorite characters, which is the reason that I
do you think maybe like it could have been a different person, maybe kind of someone we don't know, we haven't seen yet, instead of
a lot of people are saying about like choosing the same people over and over. But at the same time, I'm just not mad at it, because one, it's an Afro Latina, and two, women who are like older than fucking 35, they hardly get representation in the first place, and they can be badasses too. So it's like a double whammy for me, maybe even a triple whammy, because it's technically gonna be representation for a lesbian character. So
Rosie Perez is an amazing actress. Yeah, she's amazing. She definitely can act it. Like, mm-hmm. we don't have any worries about how it's going to be portrayed. That's perfectly fine. We already know that. So, I mean, either way, it's exciting. It's a win-win situation. Yeah. Went from zero rep to one. Like, you're like doing
that shit. So, you know what? I'm just going to, like, force myself to do it in this way. I'm going to do as much research into this as I can and see what I can find out about this. And I'll report back next week. I just haven't gotten into it.
Lit. And I guess to go back, I want to give, like, a rating to the movie. Oh, yeah. I forgot to give a rating to. I want to give it, like, 3.5 pan dulces. Maybe 4. Actually, like, 4 pan dulces, because that shit really, like, I felt it in my heart at the very end, which is something I don't usually feel. I don't feel anything sometimes, especially when stories are about men. But this is, like, a Native American man, so I kind of don't feel that way at all. Like, he might be light-skinned, but his situation is very humanizing and very, like, cool. Oh, fun fact. His sister, who has Asperger's, hates bras, and she refuses to wear bras. And I, like, really respect that in a character, because, like, every dude is, like, trying to get her to be, like, conform to what they want. And at the end, they're just kind of like, it's cool. It's fine. Whatever you want to do.
Come on.
She's like, I hate bras. I'm not going to wear them. And I was like, yes, we love a feminist.
Feel that.
So shout out to her. She was just like, fuck that. I'm not going to do what you tell me. I'm going to do what the fuck I feel.
And they have, like, representation of somebody with Asperger's. I mean, I don't mind that at all.
And it's real. It's real. They didn't cast somebody to say, oh, let's pretend you have Asperger's. No, that's legit his little sister. And his little sister has Asperger's.
That's dope.
So, some boss ass shit. Like, I love that. I was like, there wasn't, like, we always want that, you know? We always talk about authenticity, and this is as authentic as they can get. So, I thought it was very cool. So, anyways, go watch The Rider. But, yeah. So, hey, so, you said you've been watching a couple other things lately, too. What have you been watching?
Yeah, just to close out the episode, I went to go watch The Hate U Give on Friday. Because I don't know why. But it's out a little early here for some reason, but I was like, yeah, let's check it out. Yeah, so, I mean, the one thing I'm going to say about The Hate U Give, without any spoilers, is that it's very much for, like, a teen audience. I think people have been going around kind of saying that it's for a white audience as well. But, I mean, it's definitely, like, I think it definitely pushes the boundaries with that, because it's, like, it's very in your face about, like, white privilege and fuck cops and how shitty cops can be, and it's very in your face. Like, a Texan a white man would hate this.
That's a good movie then.
Yeah, I definitely think it's worth a watch. It's a little long. The ending I didn't 100% love, but it's not like a bad movie or anything. It's pretty good. It's 100% worth watching.
Yeah, I heard some reviews saying that, like, yeah, it looks like something that's too on the nose, you know?
That's why I'm saying it's for a teen audience. Like, it doesn't leave a lot up for interpretation. It's just very, like, this is what it is, you know?
Yeah, but that's, I mean, it's good, because, like, teenagers are probably going to be the ones watching it, so as long as it does the job for the kids, like, that's what really matters, you know? Because obviously it's not for, like, us, like, fucking old ass, like, jaded. We hate everything.
Yeah, we already know. We already know all the information that they provided us in this movie.
Yeah. So it's not for a wide audience, is what you're saying. It's just for a teen audience.
The thing is that people are saying that it's only for a wide audience. I think that it includes a wide audience. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay. All right. So yeah. I mean, hey, whatever, right?
Yeah. Like, I would classify it as for a teen audience, which, I mean, you can call it a wide audience. Yeah. I think I was in an audience full of white people. I don't know.
Oh, shit. Really?
I mean, this is West LA. That's really to be expected at that theater. So.
Yeah, facts, facts, facts. Wow. Well, I still want to see it. I might. Dude, I finally saw A Simple Favor.
Ooh, what'd you think?
I loved it. Am I alone in this? Like,
no, I liked it.
At the end of this. You liked it, too. Yeah, I liked it. You liked it. Blake Lively saying baby is, like, my new religion, and I want to record it, and we should just, like, try to include in the podcast when we agree, yes, baby, don't worry about it, baby. I'm like, oh my god, Blake Lively. I mean, I ain't trying to get sued. I'm just saying, it was the coolest thing I ever heard in my life, is her saying baby to another woman while she wears a 3-piece suit. And I was like, this is what I've always wanted.
16-piece suit. It was crazy.
Oh yeah, my bad. Yeah, 16-piece suit that had all these moving parts. And I was just like, I wanted something different from the movie, right? Obviously, like, the first half is so much more engaging than the second half. But I fucking loved it. And it's good to just watch when you're not doing shit. You're just, like, minding your business, and you're like, fuck it, let's just watch a movie for, like, however long. It was good. I liked it.
Sweet. Yeah, I liked it, too. I also binge-watched Big Mouth Season 2, which just came out on
Netflix. Oh, my God! Jibuki's writing on this season.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yes. How was it?
It was good. I mean, just as good as this, as the first season. I remember, like, I watched the first season and immediately wrote an article about it the day that it came out.
Oh, my God. Is this the kind of feeling you're getting from Season 2?
Yeah, it's still just as good. Still great.
That's amazing. I'm so excited to watch it on, like, that time.
Nick Kroll is a straight white man that I stan, and I'm not even ashamed of it.
You always have stanned him. Yeah, you've stanned him since I can remember. Yeah. This is facts. Guys, she's always like Nick Kroll. Okay, dude. All right, let's talk. I went to see Taylor Swift last night, but I also saw Camila Cabello. I saw her. That was amazing, okay? Like, her voice live is like art. I didn't think she sounded that good live, but then I heard her goddamn voice and I was like, Jesus, take me now. I don't even believe, but look, the Lord then took the soul. Look, we out here. Wigs was snatched. Souls was snatched. Fuck a wig, a soul was snatched. So shout out to Camila Cabello and her light skin Latina power. Bro, do you know what else I've been watching? That, speaking of light skin Mexican or Latinos, excuse me, dude.
You can no, don't tell me that. Yes. You watched that. Come on.
Yep, I did.
I couldn't do it.
My cousins. I basically just watched my cousins. I was like, oh my God. But my cousins aren't like wealthy. They're mm-hmm. just like okay.
But you know, in Mexico, people, like, they like to act like they are.
Oh my God. Once you got like a little bit of money and you buy one cabin, you think you the shit out here. Okay, calm down, Theo. Calm down, Thea. Y'all ain't the shit. But anyways, it was like watching my cousins. They're like, oh my God, but I feel so sorry. Like, it was literally the worst thing I ever saw and I couldn't stop watching. And everyone is terrible and trash. I hate everyone. And yet I can stop watching. Like, they're like the definition of the things that we all hate. Like, the things that we actively protest, they are those people. And yet, I couldn't stop watching. Because it just felt like I was watching my family. That's just fucked up.
I couldn't do it. I couldn't, like, I've been, like, you know, I go through to Netflix every single day. Like, every single day. And I'm just like, oh, what should I, like, I've been watching Kim's Convenience, by the way, which is great. But I'm not going to talk about it because we're going to talk about it later.
Yeah, we're going to talk about it.
That's the one thing I haven't been able to, like, it was recommended to me. And I've heard too many bad things and I can't watch it.
I mean, it literally is the definition of everything that we aren't. But at the same time, I'm not saying people should watch it. I'm just saying I hate that fucking shit. And I watched it all. Wow. You know what it is, though? Like, I've really had, like, a really... Like, if you're having an extremely stressful week, like, and you've already watched One Day at a Time, like, 5 times, season 1 and 2, like, if you just want to, like, get out of your mind. Like, I had a really shitty week. You know, Maite, I've had a shitty week.
Yeah, you have.
So, I just turned it on and tuned out of literally everything in my life that was stressing me out. Like, I couldn't even sleep at night, dude. And then I watch this and I'd be like, okay, cool. I can sleep. Like, it just, dude, it was okay. Like, if you're having a shitty time in life, just watch the show and hate the people on it. And
at least it did some good.
But yeah. It got me out of my shit. But yeah, it's so bad.
Yeah, there's a lot of other things that can be in your escape, like The Real Housewives of Dallas. I don't know why I'd rather watch white people do trashy things.
But the thing is that they are white people. Like,
that's true. That's not false.
Like, yeah. Like, I'm watching Made in Mexico, but I'm still talking shit about white people, so they don't make me feel bad. Because I'm like, oh, hell no, they're white people, and I'm going to talk shit. They just happen to speak Spanish, okay? That's mm-hmm. it. They white people.
And that's wild.
Erasing their culture because they erased it first. But anyways,
I just really hope that, like, Netflix figures their shit out and funds much more important things. Like, that's just not where I want funding.
No, yeah, not when, like, where they're having their, you know, all this, when we didn't even know if One Day at a Time was going to get renewed. You know, it's really shitty. you know. Mm-hmm. And shout out to Kim's Convenience. I haven't started it yet, but
yeah, shout out to Canada. They're just spitting out the fucking fire.
Shout out Canadia. We love y'all, sorta.
All right. Well, I guess we should wrap up this episode. Do we have any other like breaking news? Like, I think we don't. We have next week's
episode. I'm being in LA, you guys.
Oh yeah, in November.
So, if any of you guys want to kick it, get some tacos with us, let us know now because it's gonna be hella busy once I get there. It's gonna be,
yeah, exactly. So I think I don't know. Maybe
schedule it in, guys.
Maybe tell we'll us set now. Something up. Maybe we'll set something up to where like we both go somewhere like Saturday night or something and tell everybody like they can meet
on
us
purpose
there.
And meet people. Right? Yeah. Let's maybe. Do that. We'll figure that out.
If there's anybody even that wants to, but
all three of y'all.
Yeah. All two of you.
All two of you.
So yeah, we'll figure it out next week. Yeah, so next week's going to be a fun episode, I think. And the week after that is going to be probably a Patreon. Yeah, a Patreon episode. And then another couple episodes. I don't want to spoil what we have coming up because I'm pretty excited about it all.
Fuck yes, I am too. Mm-hmm. So it's coming, guys. It's coming.
That's what she said. And okay. anyways, yeah, we'll talk. You'll hear from us next week. And thanks for listening once again. Oh, follow us on everything, CYC Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. Go rate and review because rating and reviewing is the only thing that makes me happy. And if you want to hear more from us, aka that week that we don't post on here, we're on patreon.com/CYC Podcast posting a different episode of whatever it is that we decided to do that week.
Yes, and make sure, like, I mean, you know, support queer content, guys. Like, there's no one behind us. It's just me and Mike. They're literally doing everything in between. Like, we're not even in the same state. So we're making it really fucking work. So if you want to support two queer Latinas, just fucking out here. And, you know, and once you support, you can also give us all the criticism you would like. Because, you know, you're also supporting us. We listen to those people.
For sure. Yeah, shout out to those who have reached out. Because I had somebody reach out recently. And, you know, like, they had a lot of great things to say, and they had some things to say that we maybe missed on our episode, and I'm like, that's great, let's keep talking about it, like, this is fantastic.
Oh yes, please, yes, give us the feedback, give us your opinions, like,
specifically through a rating and a review on iTunes.
yes please, rating and review on iTunes completes our lives.
All right, we're done preaching. We'll let you go.
Enjoy the rest of your Thursday, guys. We love y'all.
Or weekend, which whenever you decide to listen to this.
Listen.
Yeah, thank you again, and goodbye.
Bye.